Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And this evening, we will be dealing with who and what is God. What is that all about? Where did that concept come from? Seeing me, all the words spelled in it is in English. Where did the God concept come from? Where is God exactly? How many gods are created in man's image? Is there a real God? Where did the Adam and Eve story come from? Now, we're going to attempt to try to deal with this in its entirety today. And I'm going to ask if you all got any questions or comments or any input, raise your hand and we're going to open up the line so that you can get in. Now, all of the information that you would need to know about God and the truth about the whole thing that can be verified, cannot be refuted, is in Tahaka Archives. Tahaka's library is right in there. Okay, right up on the religion. You can just click on that, and just once you get up in there, there will be no more excuse. It's over. Point blank. There's too many. Too much evidence, too many verifying much information that you can verify. All of it's right there. You all have excused me. We've been kind of busy here lately. But I'm in here tonight to try to get this thing done. And I want to say that keep in mind that on August the 16th through the 18th, we will be hosting the Morris Summit, right here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Greetings. I'd like to invite you out to the Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem L. of the Tamarain 2 Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour, Sundiata Amael, Professor Isef Deanham L, Tahaka Amana L, Abundance Child, Fatima, The Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L, and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state. Morris Eastside Farms, putting one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register, for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
Okay, Moors, we got a new website up. It's newfreehelpgroup.com. Now, when you go over to newfreehelpgroup.com, make sure you examine everything that's there. We put several packages up for those people who have, if you're in your house upside down and you just want to cancel your mortgage outright. It's all illegal anyway. Just go right over there to newfreehelpgroup.com, and the link of talkarchives.org is there. If you click on that, you will see all the packages that's made available to you. Now, don't forget, you cancel your debt, you got a student loan debt, child support debt, credit card debt, all that can be dealt with. And any other contract cancellations, you'll see all the packages that's there made available. But what we are doing is, for anybody that's accessing these packages all the way up until July, we're adding to our archives to each one. So don't forget, go right there to newfreehelpgroup.com and click on the link to talkarchives.org, and everything is sitting right there waiting on you. Okay? Peace, Moes.
All right. Now we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are offering our free articles, The 14th Amendment Exposed, The Commerce Game, How to Play, and Secrets of America. And the way you access that is send me emails and talk to some of them free articles to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll rush that right on to you. Now, www.newfreehelpgroup.com. We will put this in the chat room so you know where to go. Okay, if you're in a home, you got a mortgage, let's get rid of that thing, man. If your mortgage is $1,200 a month, that's $1,200 in your pocket a month. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If you got a student loan, let's get rid of it. The child support, all of the things, let's get rid of it. Credit cards, all of that, let's get rid of all of it. Newfreehelpgroup.com. Now, my position, as far as the God thing is concerned, is I have no choice but to go as far back as I possibly can and get as much information as I possibly can to get as close to the solution to this problem as I possibly can. And when I do, I go back to a land that you call ancient Kemet. And what I want to do is I want to open up some stuff there, because we're going to use this as a starting point to unravel the mystery involving the God concept. Now, I look at the word God this way. Number one, to me, is an English term. Okay. But even though the people that created the term say, well, we got cultures all over the earth that talks about God and all that. Really. Well, my position is I need to know what the people in ancient times terminology was and what did it mean. Because now we got this thing that there's a God up there, and if you don't do certain things that we say down here that you ought to do, you're going to go to hell. And if you do certain things that we say you're supposed to do, then you're going to go to heaven, you see. And then they say, well, do not lean towards your own understanding. In other words, you got a Bible in the house, but you can read it, but don't come to no conclusion. Go over here to the church. We'll tell you what to do. Don't try to do no thinking on your own. You see, all this is on where? The physical plane. It's all in the physical arena. Now, let me deal with what I see. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I need y'all to raise your hand and correct me before we get started. This is what I see. I see thousands upon thousands of churches all across the United States of America. And we got different nationalities that got these churches, but the only one I'm looking at is the one that have a pastor that look like me and members that look like me. That's my priority right there. That's the first thing I want to look at right there. I see all these thousands of churches across the United States. But when I look at the statistics involving people of African descent, I see that we're in shambles. Now, I hear this thing about, well, God say in the last days such and such and such and such a thing will happen. Okay, that's true. But how do you explain all the other nations coming inside the United States, including Europeans, everybody having more than you? Help me out with that. Show me in the Bible where it says we're supposed to be at the bottom of the totem pole, even though we got 100,000 churches. Help me out with that one. Then I see all these churches, and a lot of them have this picture of a European Caucasian, representing God in the church. The pastor's driving brand new cars, him and his wife, all the members are driving Chevrolet and Fords and breaking down on the road and all this kind of stuff. Help me out. And then you putting your money in there and you keeping this thing going, and they take the money and they build a bigger church. And then after they build a bigger church, they collect more money, put up a new building plan, and build an even bigger church. But as a nation of people, as a result of this, where are you today? Help me out. Now, maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing, because is there anybody out there? I want to ask this question. Is there anybody out there that can raise your hand and straighten me out about this here? Because maybe this ain't happening. I'm just telling you what I see. Maybe I might not have saw this. Straighten me out. Go ahead and raise your hand, straighten me out on this right here. Now, then I look at other churches, because, and the reason I'm doing the church thing, because this is where the God concept resides. It's in there. Now, I look at the mafia. Okay. They had the Catholic Church or whatever it is they got. And we go out and we kill 30, 40 people in cold blood. Blow up a bridge and put a crater in the earth big as a city for one judge that did something you didn't like. And then we go into the church and we say three Hail Marys, and we talk to a man in a little box that sit on the other side, and you confess your sins to him, and then you do three Hail Marys, and a presto change, all of that gone behind us. We back to new. Now, this is one of the most amazing things that I have ever seen in my life. So what we want to do now is we want to deal with the God concept. We want to deal with, there's a church here in the city where I live at. Okay. Now, this is a European church, Caucasian church, sits right smack dab in the middle of downtown. Now, this is what I've seen. When church turns out, policeman is outside directing traffic with guns on his side. They got guns on the side. And they're telling me, because this is where all the politicians, all the judges, everybody that's a member of that church go at. And then we the church done plainly told everybody, we ain't having no jumping and shouting in here. If you got a family member and that family member die, you can't have no funeral in here. You had to be special in order to have him. And you got to fill out an application Because we need to know exactly how much money you're making. We need to know about your taxes. We need to know about your credit. We need to know all about this. But now we got brothers and sisters that are in there. They're in there. They got on European suits. The sister got a perm in hell. But you better not jump up hiding about no shot in there. If your mom and daddy die, you better go somewhere else. You better go. Now, to me, because I just look at a dog and call it a dog. I have a hard time looking at a rabbit and calling it a lion. I have a hard time with that. I can't go along with no junk. I just got to call it like I see it. This is amazing to me. I've seen so many things because I've been in there and I've seen this stuff going on. I've seen it with my own eyes. It is one of the most amazing things to go on. But what I have to concentrate on as a result of us having all these churches and collecting all of this money, where are we as a nation of people of African descent? Help me out. Where are we? What's your nationality? Where is your government? Where? Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. Now, if anybody got a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand. And I'm pretty sure there are some pastors that's listening to this. This is an opportunity for you to explain it to me and straighten me out about it. Because the only thing I'm doing is just calling it like I see it. Then I got brothers telling me, I'm a Mason. Well, that's strange. Are you a person of African descent? You say you're a Mason? When I know for a fact that a Mason is pale-skinned, 21 years old or older, European, sound body and mind, so I'm trying to figure out where you come from. Because I know that Hiram Abiff was an African, and he's buried in a shallow grave. So, help me out, where you come in on this right here? You say you're amazing? What that mean to me? About what? Where? How? What are you doing? What? All right, hold on.
Our African ancestors, brothers and sisters, saw the matrilineal system. Keep in mind that all the kings had to come through the line of the woman. Is that right?
Right.
What man can say he didn't come from a woman? Please step forward so we can understand where you came from. So our ancestors had no problems understanding that divine principle of that sacred womb where we all came from. That was the basis and foundation of the goddess principle and the matrilineal system in Africa. And our ancestors saw, in order for the king to rule the throne, like you have Ursa Maat Ra here, the goddess Shishat. Here you see her in the tree of divine wisdom, giving the fruit of divine knowledge and wisdom in order for him to rule the throne. It had nothing to do with no tree of good and evil. The patriarchs who came from the north, the Hyksos and others, who had a misogynistic nature, a hatred towards the woman, could not conceive of a woman nor a goddess giving a man anything. And that story was corrupted. The tree of divine wisdom and divine life was corrupted into the tree of what? Because here we have that they created and their biblical stories and the opening of the pages in Genesis that there was Adam and Eve. Is that right? And they were not to eat of the tree of what? Knowledge of what? Good and evil. Now, who was seduced by the serpent and ate from the tree? That's why, sisters, you got to watch and hear that sound. But anyway, here we see that she was seduced to eat the fruit, and then she seduced who?
Adam.
Now, we are told that that's the reason for the world's sins of this first woman eating of the tree of good and evil, and that that's also not only the reason for the world's sins, but her monthly cycle is to remind her of that sin. This is what's taught in the church. Okay? Now, when sisters start jacking that preacher up, who's been equally spiritually enslaved himself to tell that story, and that we were born in sin. There was no story whatsoever in the Kemetic Nile Valley that we were born in sin. So a few years ago, back in 1988, boy, time is fast. Seemed like I just got this yesterday. Brother and sister showed me. They said, hey, brother, Quasi, you see, there was a black Adam and Eve. Although they made a black Adam and Eve, that has nothing to do with our story. This is what we see the evolutionists and creationists fighting each other. And they know anthropological studies that black people were first, so they put a black Adam and Eve and gave Adam a jerry curl and gave Eve a weave. You know, they had to be looking good for each other back then, you know. But it had nothing to do with our story, brothers and sisters. Even though they make it black to make you accept it, this is not still an African story. The African story is the goddess Ishat giving the fruit of divine life from the tree of divine life and wisdom in order for the king to rule the throne. And this goddess concept was corrupted throughout the whole African Nile Valley, and even in our spiritual subconscious, even today, where we are told that the sisters are the ones, women are the ones for the world's sins. This is the demonization of women and the hatred of women. This is part of the sexism that you get in the theologians. Even in Paul, it says that women shouldn't even speak in the church. But I'm letting you know that that is not the African spiritual way, brothers and sisters. We had a god and a goddess. That's a spiritual Maatian law that our ancestors saw. Okay? So let's understand that there was no rib, by the way, in the African creation story taken from the man to make the woman. That didn't exist. They were created simultaneously. So we did not have no story, but all of us got a navel where the umbilical cord was severed from our mothers, where we all came from. But until we get back to the true spirituality of understanding our divine balance of African men and African women, we'll forever be a victim in somebody else's racist theological story and the victimization of sisters where we cannot see our divine balance in the universe. Hotel. And you know, the story is corrupted anyway, because as they said, there was only Adam and Eve, and then they created a son named who?
Cain and Abel.
And Cain went out to the land of Nod and found what? They haven't been able to explain that story yet. And then they, and the racist theologians will tell you that was the sub-Negroid race. No, African people had a great kingdom long before their Adam and Eve story that they created and corrupted from the goddess Aset and Asar from right here in Kemet, right here in Egypt where you are. These stories are told. This is a book in stone. That's why they carved endlessly so it cannot be revised. You see the ark already back there. How could the Ark of Covenant, that the Jews say that Jehovah God is the portable God house, and you got it right here?
That they're carrying.
And we are taught to go to Jerusalem and not to come back here to Kemet. We look at Jerusalem as being the Holy Land, not Kemet as being the Holy Land. This was the original Holy Land. This was the original Tanetar Land. I know that may be hard for some of us, but 400 years of indoctrination, you have to look at yourself as a victim. And we have been a victim. But we have continuous stories. So this is a book in stone. You can have a few minutes to take your pictures of the goddess Ishat and go back and tell the story. Show it to the preachers. Show it to the ministers. We want to get to the root of these stories, and you've come halfway around the world back to the African Nile Valley and witnessed where they've copied and manipulated these stories from you. We want to get to the root of the story, and the root of the story was no Eve, but it was in fact Shishak giving divine knowledge and wisdom. See, the only story that we have when a story regurgitates up is what white folks put in our psyche. But now the real psychological warfare is going to take place now, because you are here. You're witnessing on the temples now, Shishat and the Tree of Life and many other concepts that we have shown, and that's down in your psyche. So when you hear the Garden of Eden, what's going to trigger in your mind right back here? I saw Shishat. And it was nothing. That's what's going to trigger. That's what's going to activate. But if you have nothing down in your psyche to fight that, then you can only accept that which has been told to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Moses, we're back. Now, this is what happened. I was quite fortunate enough a few years ago. I was working for a bakery, and they hired an African, a brother from Africa. He did not speak any English, but they hired him. And when I saw they hired him, I found out he didn't speak any English and everything, and they were just, you know, the ignorant folks would come back, well, he don't understand anything. I said, okay, get out of the way, man. Where the man at? And I got him outside, and we sit down, and I understood he didn't speak English. And I asked him, do you know about Adam and Eve? He said, I know nothing. I don't know nothing. Can you say Adam? Adam. Never heard it before. I don't know. Okay. Speak African to me. Speak. And he began to speak in his language to me. So now, here's a man in the 20th century, 21st century, that don't know nothing about that. But we have this term called Adam. We have Eve. We have God. We have the rib. We have the tree of life. All of these are English terms. So, me, with my dumb self, and all the bad habits I got, going back, doing an investigation and turning up stuff and turning over every conceivable stone to get to the root of the problem. I'm an evil, wicked man. I don't need to be doing that. I need to just leave this alone and just believe in God and just, and Adam and Eve, and just believe this thing, man. Don't be messing with nothing. Just believe. Believe. Without investigation, blindly accept something because somebody else told you to accept it and instructed you not to do an investigation about it. Now, we're going to go back a little bit further. We're going back to the real Holy Land one more time.
Man glorious, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with a kick, zoom.
Dynamic, articulate, perceptive, courageous, outspoken.
But we know the Egyptians were African people, right? And when I do my slide presentations, I usually show the blackest, most Africoid images I can because I'm trying to make a point. Because the presentations that I give are not only historical analysis, but they are also propaganda. Let's be honest with each other. We're trying to use that information to empower people. I'm not going to get up and give a presentation and talk about all the bad things black folks did. I'm not going to get up and give a presentation and discuss the possibility or the extent of Africans involved in the slave trade. I'm not going to give a presentation where I talk about the people who, the sellouts, who betrayed Denmark Vesey and Gabriel Prosser and the other Africans as they were about to engage in these massive insurrections. I'm going to tell you some good things about Africa because we need to be lifted up. History has that function. For me, it is not only, it's a propaganda tool. And I see myself, right or wrong, as something of a motivational speaker. When I give a presentation, I want you to leave that room, if at all possible, charged up, ready to go back into the battle. Because we need encouragement, we need uplifting. But what do we do, therefore, with images like this and like that? Do we just ignore them? Or do we try to explain them? For example, I've seen images of Amenhotep III painted white. Now, what does that mean? I think it means this, that we need more study and analysis of art history and the symbolism and what they represented. Why did they use the color red? What was the significance of the color white? You see, this one, now a lot of these were painted, and you can see this one was. This brother is in a mummy posture, what is more accurate. I said that in the schools, but in reality, we would say he is in the Osirian posture. and Asar, being identified as the god or manifestation of resurrection. And Asar being the resurrected Savior, and they identified with that. And also, by tradition, the first mummy. But when I was in the classroom, I said the mummy poster, because I didn't have the time to explain Asar and the concept of resurrection in 45 minutes. Anyway, here he is. He's got his arm folded up. That's a sure sign. And then he's got this white linen shroud. His feet are bound together. The beard is curled. And you can see the fake beard. You can see the straps on the side. And he's got the cobra uraeus. And then he's got the double crown. And there the eyes are colored. So, I mean, it's not quite as simple as we make it seem sometimes. When you give a 45-minute presentation and you're showing pictures and you're rolling, you kind of give the impression, I think I do sometimes, that I have all the I have all the answers. I do not. I have a lot more questions than answers. What I have is a lot of information, and I'm trying to see how that information sorts out and what sense it makes. I'm constantly gathering up the data, but we have to interpret the data too. Okay? Let's move forward. This is red granite. You can see the distinction between the red granite and the pink granite. But one of the things I like about granite is it's so hard and it lasts for such a long time. And this here you have Amenhotep II again. But here he is in the guise of Amen. In fact, this must be Amenhotep II right here. And he's striding forward, right? He's alive. And he has a different kind of crown. Sometimes we call that the blue crown or the war crown, and the shape is a little bit different, and this seems to be something peculiar to Dynasty 18 and 19, which is often called the New Kingdom. And what he's offering is incense. And this is the writing system, that's the Medinet, the divine speech, beautifully inscribed. And then you have, and he's offering the incense to God Amun. Now, how can I look at that and know that it's Amun? Because of the headpiece. And what it seems to represent are two ostrich plumes. That's one of the reasons we could tell the Egyptians were African too. The animals they used in their art. Some of these animals are not indigenous to Europe or even Asia. There are no ostriches in the history of Europe that I'm aware of. Sometimes you see the priest covered with leopard skin. And so this is a very interesting piece. Okay? Let's see some more. This, obviously, is a depiction of a baboon. The baboon is identified with an Egyptian deity called Tahuti. Now, when some people talk about the period that we're in now, they talk about Akhenaten. Akhenaten is regarded by many people, including Sigmund Freud, as the world's first monotheist.
Okay, we got a little distortion on the audio there, but the general idea is to clearly show that these people were of African descent. But we want to know who and what God is. What is the most amazing thing to me is to listen to whole broadcasts about history, ancient history, and the word Egypt is mentioned, but the color of the people are never mentioned. Never, ever. It's like this is this sacred thing. You could talk about Egypt all day long, but whatever you do, don't mention nothing about them being black. Don't do that. That's you breaking the sacred code. We got to remove this from any conceivable way of anybody ever thinking about it. I mean, you can listen to radio show after radio show after radio show. You can look at television broadcast after television broadcast after television broadcast. It is totally taboo. The only people that gets on there and mention the color of the people are people of African descent. That's all I ever seen. I listened to a radio show one night where they had talked about Egypt for 2 hours straight, and not once did they ever mention African. ever mentioned the race of the people? Not one single time. And to a lady called in and told them, say, look, I've been listening to the broadcast. You have not mentioned the fact that these people were of African descent. These were Africans. These kings were African. These were jet black people. Because in order to, if they did that, then that means that we will be able to walk backwards in time and determine what the so-called God looked like. We cannot allow that. We have to remove it. And even after the lady called into the broadcast, one of them, he said, well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're right. But he did not say, yes, you're right, they are African. He said, you're right, but he didn't say that. And then after she hung up, they went back for 2 more hours talking about Egypt, not mentioning it again. It's programmed in the brain of these people to continue to write the truth out of their ancient story. Well, we're going to unravel some things tonight. Y'all hold tight. We're going to deal with something. And after we get through, we want you to raise your hand if you got any questions or comments. Let me know what you think about this stuff. Okay?
In the first film, What Lies in Plain Sight, we were able to partially expose our blindness. In so doing, we were able to begin the process of reclaiming our sight. However, I must tell you that the degree of our blindness is much greater than we have realized. It will take a significant amount of time to regain our sight. The journey towards regaining our sight will provide us with many opportunities for spiritual and intellectual growth. We will surely face challenges along the way. Perhaps our greatest challenge will be in overcoming the programming that has obstructed our ability to see. Schooling, television, internet, radio, religion, all contribute mightily to the blinding of our sight. These things function as nothing more than intellectually and spiritually retarding devices, which ultimately forces us to accept reality at face value, a value which is defined by beings far more sinister than most of us can imagine. Recall the following. 1. Reality is much more complex than we have been taught. 2. We are not alone in the universe. 3. There are infinite interactions, causes, and effects across the universe and throughout the dimensions which impact us in profound ways. 4. Humanity is being manipulated and controlled by entities not of this world. 5. The blinding of our sight is a major stratagem towards the control of humanity. Humanity has been thoroughly deceived, and it is to this deception that I wish to reveal to you the origins of our blindness. From birth, human beings have been programmed to think within very limited parameters of intellectual, mental, and spiritual perceptions. Our mental perceptions have been diminished to such a degree that many of us can only think on a singularly reactionary basis. What this means is that many of us have been reduced to mindless automatons, only capable of reacting to people, events, and information without careful thought or concrete intellectual process. Such a state of existence is therefore one-dimensional, reactionary, and is the antithesis of our multidimensional nature as human beings. Human beings are much more complex and much more powerful than we have been taught. We have the ability to operate on multidimensional levels. You will find that those who are gifted with so-called exceptional spiritual abilities are merely those of us who have retained or reclaimed our multidimensionality. Our multidimensionality is a source of great power. But without our sight, we cannot see it for what it is. Our inability to see maintains a gargantuan ignorance and births the hideous myth that we already know everything there is to know about the origins of life on Earth, the complexities of existence in the cosmos, and the multidimensional nature of humanity itself. Through our concurrence to this myth, we perpetuate our state of ignorance, distributing our lack of knowledge throughout the generations. But this ignorance, this wretched ignorance, is not self-created. It is a manifestation of a system that envelops the world. This world system places the vast majority of humanity through a process which produces desired results. But what is this system? And what are the desired results? And who or what created this system? And why? I would like to reveal to you the answers to these questions. But as we begin this journey, I believe it is important to explore some fundamental concepts. The Creator. Perhaps the greatest mistruth that embezzles humanity's ability to see revolves around our religious and secular concepts about the Creator. When I say Creator, I mean to say the entity that created all things, both visible and invisible, perceived and hidden, known and unknown, in the complete perceptual reality of the human being and beyond. At this time, I will propose to you that we have been purposely confused about the nature of the Creator. Most human beings have been taught to believe that the Creator has a name, a face, a home, and a vested interest in human affairs. But I will tell you that none of this is true. The human concepts of name, face, home, and human concern are based upon our exclusive reality as misinformed human beings and is in no way based upon the true nature of the Creator. Human beings have been instructed to make false classifications or distinctions about the Creator as a means of maintaining an erroneous belief that we are important, pseudo all-knowing, and that we are somehow so powerful as to possess the ability to classify the Creator itself. But this is only part of the reason for our need to classify. There is a part of humanity that sincerely yearns to define the Creator in hopes of understanding that which we have been denied true knowledge of. It is similar to a drop of water trying to define the ocean, even though it has been confined within a small cup for its whole existence. In truth, human beings have been forced to exist within a very small cup for millennia. The Creator is omniscient, omnipresent, and is an impartial entity. We have been led to believe that all but the latter is true, but in actuality, it is all true. While it is a comforting notion to believe that the Creator has a vested interest in the fate of humanity, we must consider the possibility that the opposite is true. Have we not been led to believe that there are microscopic organisms, plants, animals, humans, then in some cases angels or demons, and then God? Does it not seem strange that the Creator would create such an unsophisticated hierarchical reality? Recall that reality is much more complex than we have been taught. Let me share with you that there is a distinguishable difference between the term God and Creator. The term God is a generalization of the numerous entities that exhibit supernatural inclinations and abilities, all of which were brought into existence by the Creator. Therefore, when we say God, we should actually use the term the gods. More importantly, the gods should not be confused with the Creator. Let us now expose the gods for what they truly are. Simply stated, the gods are entities that exist within the hierarchical realm, slightly above modern humanity, but infinitely lower than the Creator. These entities, these gods, are not omnipotent or omnipresent. They are limited. It is the limited nature of these gods which functions as the foundational motivation for their vested interests in humanity. Unfortunately, billions of human beings have been deceived into accepting these limited entities as the Creator, an error which holds profound implications. What I am about to reveal to you is probably the most important clue to unlocking the chains that have for too long held humanity in a state of intellectual and spiritual retardation. The gods. Most of what we have been led to believe about the Creator and our relationship to it is false. We have been told that the Creator has a name, a face, a place of residence, a vested interest in human affairs. But all of these ascriptions are false. We would, however, be correct in ascribing these traits to the gods. You will soon see that there is much more going on in the universe than we have been led to believe. Furthermore, you will find that the complexities of existence are infinite. Indeed, the Creator formed human beings, plants and animals, and all of the things that we perceive to exist. But there was much more created, not only in this universe, but also in others. Not only in our human dimensions, but also in others. Creation was and continues to be infinite, the manifestations of which are infinite. Through our collective blindness, these things have been left unknown to us, far beyond our current collective awareness as human beings. It must be understood that across all existence, there were countless entities created, some of which we call gods. Within these gods, there are infinite dispositions. There are some who are malevolent towards humanity, while others are benevolent. There are some who are balanced between the two extremes, sometimes seeking to help humanity, while at other times seeking to harm. And there are some gods who have no interest in human affairs whatsoever and are completely impartial. These god beings have been given many names. Some have been given multiple names. Some exist within our universe. Some exist in others. Some exist in human dimensions. Some in others. And some are multidimensional. But all of these entities, no matter where they exist or what they are called, have one thing in common. They are not the Creator. They are limited. I must reiterate here that the God beings are not all-powerful. They are not omnipotent, nor are they omnipresent. they are not self-sustaining. And in some cases, these God beings use human beings as a source of energy. For all intent and purposes, we are nothing more than food for the gods. The needs of the God beings are many and are based upon their inability to operate on the ultra-inventive level of the Creator. Moreover, many of these God beings lack the physical form necessary to exist in the earthly plane. This is one of their greatest limitations. I should also mention that there are some God beings who can take human form. The book The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien skillfully explores the process through which a malicious entity called Sauron gains power by manipulating humanoids into carrying out butchery, mayhem, and carnage throughout Middle Earth. With each wicked act committed by humanoids, the entity Sauron gains more strength and power, only needing the Ring of Power to take physical form. It should be noted that Sauron was able to actualize his will on Middle Earth through the extreme manipulation of humanoids. So tremendous was Sauron's ability to manipulate the humanoids that they mindlessly carried out Sauron's commands without realizing that they were also destroying themselves in the process. This is not unlike the situation facing humanity on planet Earth. Just as Sauron needed the humanoids of Middle Earth to serve him, to praise him, to do his will, so too are there entities or gods that need human beings to serve them, to praise them, to do their will. In this way, the gods are able to actualize their will on planet Earth, even at the expense of humanity's survival. Ra, Asar, Aset, Olympus, Zeus, Triton, Osiris, Baphomet, Nephilim, Chitahori, Jah, Amen, Amun, Jehovah, Oshun, Ogre, Naga, Buddha, Ganesha, Satan, Lucifer, Allah, Jinn, Elohim, Kawati, Nanabozo, Engana, Shu, Angel, Jesus, Yemenya, Antichrist, Baal, Bel, Quetzalcoatl, Saturn, Saint Nick, Ama, Dagon, Rain. Countless entities, countless names, many of which falsely claim to be the Creator. Throughout the course of time, many gods have attempted to lay claim to the identity of the Creator. But these limited entities are nothing more than imposters who have deceived literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions, of human beings throughout known time. I now ask you, why such deception? Would not these God beings have the power needed to create their own realities within which they could hold dominion over all they create? But wait, we must remember that these God beings are not the Creator. Their creative abilities are limited. They do not have the ability to create fully sentient things. Furthermore, as stated before, unlike the Creator, these God beings need humanity in varying degrees. These God beings have a great need for energy. One of their most diabolical methods of gaining energy is through the technology called prayer. Essentially, prayer is a form of energy or power transfer. Whenever a human being prays to a god, we are in actuality relinquishing our creative powers, sending our mental energies to the God beings in hopes that they will give to us that which we can create for ourselves. We have been reduced to powerless entities. propositioning the limited gods for their help, their guidance, and their vested interests. Please consider the following example. When human beings pray to the entity known as Ra, the mental energy of the human being is directly transferred to the entity known as Ra. The transferred energy is then used by Ra as a source of power, which in turn increases Ra's influence on Earth. All religions were created by the God beings to serve this very iniquitous purpose. What better way to control humanity than to have billions of human beings give away their creative power through prayer? I would now like to ask you an important question. What if the entity that is being prayed to has malicious intent towards humanity? It must be understood that any entity that asks for prayer or praise or service or sacrifice is in fact malevolent towards humanity. Like Sauron, these entities seek to gain power and strength through the careful manipulation of humanity. In gaining more power, these malicious entities seek to dominate and in some cases destroy all life on Earth. One should ask, are there any good or benevolent entities that seek to help humanity? Should we not pray to them for help? Well, I will tell you that there are three sequential issues that we must consider in order to answer this important question. 1. Malicious intent always takes more energy to actualize than kind intent. Therefore, entities with malicious intent will always demand energy from you. Conversely, kind entities will ask nothing of you, save your continued pursuit of intellectual and spiritual growth. Their help, usually in the form of information, is given for kindness' sake alone. Before we proceed, I would like to share with you that in the scheme of the universe, information is free. It exists in everything as is. This omnipresent information is accessible at any time, but can be shielded from us when we are intellectually and spiritually compromised. 2. The entities that seek to help humanity understand one very important aspect of our relationship to the gods, namely, that it is ultimately humanity that must see to it that the parasitic relationship between the gods and humanity ends. Therefore, benevolent entities will help only to a certain point. Once this point is reached, it is up to humanity to confront the entities that have enslaved us for millennia. 3. Worship, prayer, service, or sacrifice to the benevolent ones is unnecessary and limits humanity's ability to actualize its own destiny. In other words, giving power away is unwise when that same power can be used by human beings to create that which they so desire in the first place. It should become clearer to you the infinite complexities of existence itself. There are gods. There are humans. There are creatures on the surface of and deep within the planet Earth. There are creatures in the oceans that are far more intelligent than humanity itself. There are creatures that exist outside of our visual frequency range and literally walk amongst us. There are beings far out amongst the stars. There are beings that exist in multi-dimensions. Beyond this, there are infinite possibilities. I only wish that we could explore more of these possibilities. However, we must remain focused if we are to regain our sight. We human beings have been programmed to oversimplify existence itself. The oversimplification of existence has always proven a source of comfort for a fearfully powerless humanity. Recall that we give most of our power away to the gods. Consequently, we have become weak. in our state of spiritual and intellectual weakness, we have been brought to a point in our existence where we are easily manipulated by the gods. But there is something more that we must grasp if we are to uncover a deeper truth, of which I will share with you later in this video series. We must deal with something that most people have no meaningful intimation about. I must share with you the apparatus of evil itself.
Okay, Morse, the most powerful system for total elimination of your mortgage on the globe. It stands to reason that if the United States filed bankruptcy in 1933, taking all the real money out of circulation, that our signatures on contracts and stuff is the only thing that's left. Now, we have a system that's set up to totally get rid of that mortgage contract. And if you got student loan debt, if you got the child support, whatever, then we got all contract eliminator as well. And what we're doing here now for those people who are accessing either one of these new packages that's located at newfreehelpgroup.com, we are adding to Hawkins Archives to it absolutely at no charge to you. So get over to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Okay? Peace, Moes.
Greetings. I'd like to invite you out to the Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem L. of the Tamarain 2 Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour, Sundiata Amael, Professor Asif Deanham L., Tahaka Amana L., Abundance Child, Fatima, the Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L., and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state, Morris Eastside Farms, creating one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
All right, Moses, we're back. Now, before we go into the next segment, I want to give a little quick analyzation of what this gentleman have done. What he has done is he's performing an exorcism, because in most cases, all of us, all the time, we hear, well, we are not alone in the universe. We hear about alien craft all over the planet, all kind of stuff involving that. We are seeing photographs on and videos on YouTube of different creatures and stuff that's been found. A lot of that stuff is created by the government in their little laboratories. But it would take a real, in my opinion, it'd take a real ignorant person to believe that we are the only one in the universe and all subsequent universes, just so we can believe in a concept of God that somebody else gave you. That's real ignorant. It's like you have taken nails and nailed your brain up so it can't go no further than that. And that's what it seemed to me, because some of us are so dogmatic about it. Well, I believe in Jesus, and Jesus, God said this and that and the other, and I know that God has worked many miracles in my life, and God has done this right here. But we have done no investigation whatsoever on the very thing that we claim to believe in. We simply took somebody else's advice, and we thought that we were actually accomplishing something. But once again, our nation is in shambles. I live right across the street from a church. They just ignore me because they already know that he's not going to go for the okey-doke. We've tried to do everything that we could to get him to start bringing his money over here and giving it to us and be one of the sheeps and so that we can continue the brainwashing process on behalf of the children whose forefathers were the murderers of our own ancestors about the concept of a God that don't look like me. Amazing. It is amazing. This is a phenomenon. I go to when Christmas and Christmas Eve come and New Year's and different things of this nature, when they come, I go to the Asian restaurants, and I tell them, I say, hey, you the day Christmas Eve, you ain't supposed to be open. You supposed to be home celebrating Christmas. They say, we don't know nothing about that. Well, that means that I'm the only dummy. You got to help me participate in being just as dumb as me. And then I go to the grocery store, and all the people in there on Thanksgiving Eve it look like me. We're putting turkeys in the basket with tryptophan that's putting you to sleep. And the whole store full of you. But I see Europeans in there. They ain't even got no turkeys. But you, and I'm trying to figure out what does it have to do with you. But, the church, God, say, you know, I always thought the pilgrims and the Indians was a part of this. I ain't seen nobody Africa be a part of the story nowhere. So I'm trying to understand what you're doing because it is a phenomenon to me. It is a phenomenon. And maybe I'm wrong. But if any of you got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand and open up the lines so y'all can straighten me out because I might be looking at this thing the wrong way. I call myself calling it exactly the way I see it. And it is a phenomenon where you have an entire race of people who say that, well, the black dollar is a blurry power. We got we got spending power. I ain't never known nothing remotely connected to money, giving no money power when you spending it. I don't understand that. That's a phenomenon to me. That's a phenomenon to me. And then the people. When I'm doing this thing, the people that get mad at me are the people who look just like me. Now, I got somebody with their hand raised out. Hopefully somebody can straighten me out on all this old stuff here. Erico 404.
Yes, sir. This Cheetah Man Mutuel, Cherokee
okay.
County, Georgia.
Let me have it, man.
You ain't wrong. You right in your thinking. You know what I mean? That means... You ain't been
well, I can't be.
Right.
Wait a minute now. I can't be right. I can't be right because we got millions of people of African descent doing this. So I got to be the only wrong one who ain't doing it. I got. Come on, man.
Like that story with Jesus and all that. They stole that story from the birth of Horus. Haru, that the Horus was born in South America in the country called Peru. The country named after him called Peru. The P stand for the house and Haru stand for Horus. Horus, the son of Isis and Osiris, right? Okay,
uh-huh.
That's what, and we got in our DNA, we got information, and like a, we a supercomputer, you know what I'm saying? And that DNA, the information that from your mom and dad, that information is passed on, you know what I mean? So they kind of, they using your story, you know what I'm saying? The company, they come us with their own story, you know what I'm saying? Then, but they twisting it into their favor, so... You know you remember this, you know what I'm saying? It's like a natural thing, like the cheetah family, a cheetah can see 2 miles down the street. You know what I'm saying? They naturally run fast. You know what I'm saying? An eagle, they can see 2 miles from the sky to the ground, you know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing, it's like we come from we got that same DNA makeup. Now as far as like God, the God concept and all that, the creative force. Okay, when the first white man went up in space, he died. The first white man, they ain't tell you about that. He died when he went out in space because he ain't had melanin in his skin. The melanin in our skin is the same fabric in space, that black matter in space. We got the same material as that same fabric in space in our skin. You see what I'm saying? They had to take, go into the melanin blood, the melanin banks, and put melanin inside the spaceship so the white man can go out in space.
Okay. Well, I never heard that one, but there's a lot of stuff that I got that I haven't examined because I have a lot of materials on space and stuff. But, I'm not going to say that you're wrong and stuff, but what is fascinating to me is the fact that you have put, you mentioned Peru. And what I know what the church does, the church got everybody looking at Africa and don't mention nothing about the Americas, because if you mention something, never mind the fact that hundreds of thousands of artifacts have been found of you. On this landmass in the Americas, North, Central, and South America, pyramids all over the place. We don't mention none of that. But you mentioned that. Now, what else? And my question to you is, what else do you know about that's found in the Americas that's connected to our ancestors?
Okay, if you go to Arizona, you gonna find the Zuni people and the Hopi people, and they stay in the middle of the desert in Arizona, and they originally was black people, but they was getting pushed off their land, so they went on and educated those tribes, those pale people. I think those Indians, they call Indians, I think they're a mixture of the Chinese people mixed in with the Spanish conquistadors at that time. And so they went on and told them, gave them their knowledge or whatever about the stars and all that. They got a book called The Book of the Stars, and talk about the pole shift and all that, and the planets lining up. And then, you know, they got the Mayan calendar ending, but they don't understand all the hieroglyphs either. So, but the same original black people, they still walking around in North America, okay? They got the pyramid mounds by the Wichita, and they talk about that in a Hopi book too, called the Ant People. The Ant People came from outer space, and they got a drill on this on their spaceship. They got a drill that can go 2-3 miles in the ground and pull a mountain up. You know what I mean? And they call them the Ant People in the Book of the Stars, and that's the Hopi concept. And they was black people, and the pyramid mounds, they the same geometric shape as the pyramids in Mexico City and all over the world. And the Exodus started in Belize with the exiled people from Mexico. That was the Garden of Eden right there in Mexico. And then they got kicked out on Belize. Then the Esau, that was Venezuela, right there in South America. And when they talk about Jericho, that was Rio de Janeiro, Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. That was Jericho in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So they just took 23,000 years of North, Central, and South American history that they stole.
Okay, okay, now, what you just described is a mirror, because they're saying that all of this here happened over there. So who are the people in Israel call themselves Jews, bound down at the Wailing Wall? Who are them people?
them the people that came from Ibrina experiments in Mexico City. You can go to the Habarubi experiment too. That happened over there on the east side with.
You're talking about cloning?
Yes. Cloning and stem cells, splicing and researching and all that. But they had extraterrestrial technology too, though, to do that. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Well, who are the people that performed the experiments?
The Egyptian people.
What color were they?
They was black. You know what I'm saying? You got Machu Picchu. He was the richest Egyptian king in the whole world. He was richer than King Tut. And all that was in Peru, in the Andes Mountain. They call that Upper Egypt because it's 11,000 feet above sea level in the mountains. And that miracle, you know, they talking about the tree of life.
Uh-huh.
They were talking about the coca leaf plant, because when they dug up all the pharaohs in North, Central, South America, all the pharaohs had cocaine in their body and marijuana,
uh-huh,
and they deep in their tissues and all that. So, I mean, we created the cocaine, the miracle to make you open up that third eye. You know what I'm saying? So,
Well, let me ask you this. Why haven't the media rushed in to broadcast this so that everybody will be awake, everybody will know the truth, because the truth is what makes you free? Why do you think they ain't rushed in and heard up and told everybody all about this?
Because they really embarrassed about their history, their dark ages. They real embarrassed about their dark ages, you know what I'm saying? And they really, I'm gonna tell you why they definitely mad. They know we the first people to the beings that were higher than us, that Inca and Ninti, that made us in their image. They taught us how to make pyramids and make drugs and all that stuff, and taught us magic. You know what I'm saying? All that showed us how to use 100% of our brain. You know what I'm saying? Had levitation technology with 0-point energy. You know what I mean? And they already know. Cause let me tell you, we the first ones to conquer the planet. Then, so they wondering, like, they like, God made a mistake. Why we want the first ones to be born on a planet with just white people? Do you understand where they coming from?
Uh-huh.
So,
okay. Let's look at it like this. Okay, we're going to say we deal with the colors. We got jet black, blue black. And then we go down a shade from that. Then we have brown. We go down another shade. We can get into a reddish tint. We go down another shade. We get into yellow tint. Then the final stage could be minus any color, which could be white, what you would call white, which is we can't actually use that. We'll have to just simply say devoid of color. And then we got these people on the planet. We got black, red, yellow, and then we got white. What is classified as white, but which is just simply not white. It's just devoid of any color like all the rest of the people. So if we look at that, then my question is, where did this devoid of all color come from? Where did this particular species come from? Because it's the only thing on the planet that looks like it. There's nothing else that matches it. How did that come about?
to my I know the Chinese people, they call them the Manchurians, and they call the Caucasoids, the Caucasian race, they call them
Well, where the Caucasian come from?
Albions.
Albion Caucasian. Where they come from? Because everybody else got color,
They got melanin in their skin, but it's not just it ain't like Al. They couldn't even survive on this planet if they ain't have melanin in their skin. You know what I'm saying? They got it in their skin too, but it just, I mean, they ain't a diseased people. It's just like you got the cat family. They're just a different species, or the cat family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all.
So
it
God,
is. I mean,
God created them. Is that right?
From my research, them species came out of Mexico City from the Ibrina experiments.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
what I'm
cloned.
After research. Yeah, they took the DNA from they self and reshaped the molecule. Like George Washington Carver, he took the peanut and made 1,000 products out of the peanut in a peanut shell, just rearranging the molecules and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? So it's very possible. And George Washington Carver was black too. So, you know, I'm just saying, I mean, you got somebody real scientific like that. I knew it wasn't. And people not make big old pyramid blocks like that. When they ain't even got the technology to lift one block. So I know they got the science and knowledge to rearrange the DNA molecules and reshape it.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, after the initial experiment occurred, when they had success, after they created the first one, what happened? Did anything happen? Did anything go wrong? What happened?
Like you said, did some miscalculations on the experiment, and then they weren't really obeying they couldn't really understand the language. You know what I'm saying? They made some miscalculations. I don't even think the Egyptians were supposed to be doing it at the time. They had permission to even get that technology to even do that. So somebody.
All right. Well, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me open up this other line here. Eric O, 44, first three numbers, 554. Come on in.
How you doing, brother? Good evening. My name is Brother Ankh. I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida, just enjoying the conversation. My question is, dealing with status and jurisdiction. I'm familiar with some of the terminology, but the question that I have tonight, brother, is I've heard information is that you have to be careful about filing certain sovereignty paper, and I want to know, is it true that you have to be a part of a sovereign nation in order to gain sovereignty?
Well, brother, what I'm going to have to do, because this is not the proper venue for what we're discussing here tonight, why don't you give me a call at area code 904-303-9061 tomorrow. Give me a call and we'll discuss that. But tonight we're trying to get to the bottom of who and what is God and unraveling that whole situation.
Okay, brother, can I interject in that conversation just for a second?
Come on.
What I'd like to say is I understand that melanated people, or let's just say black people per se, genetics goes all the way back to the stars. And there's a lot of information where certain, I hate to use the word alien or extraterrestrial because I understand what those terminologies mean, but we have, what do you think, bro, about the inner earth? I heard the brother talking about the inner earth and other places in the universes where intelligent life exists. Is this where our DNA comes from, bro?
Well, to answer that question there, I have to give you just what I have researched. You're talking about Agahara, you're talking about Shambhala, and the inner earth and all of this stuff here. But I go on the diaries of men who came here to this region and what they wrote down based on what they saw. And I remember the Spaniards coming in here to try to capture more people and sell them into slavery. And they would come in with these peaceful ships and usually a lot of times, usually the strategy was the first to come with the mercenaries to, you know, we're coming in the name of the Lord. We need to talk to you. We need to explain to you about Jesus Christ and stuff like that. And then we'll turn around and we'll go back. And then the next thing, the next ships will come will be because we've indoctrinated the brain with our concept, and then we'll start killing people. This has been the same concept has been going down for 400 years in this hemisphere. Now, when it comes to these people, what they would do is they come, and I remember one of them, in one diary I read, it says that the land is teeming with life. Everybody's everywhere. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of them. And so when they turn around and go back and get the killers and come back, when the killers came, when they looked around, the people had disappeared. They got off the ship. They went on the land. They went all up in the mountains. They went through the jungles. They could not find one single trace of the people.
Okay.
Now, where did they go? And we find out where they went. Because the earth is put together by plates.
Okay.
As the earth moves, you have underground places inside this earth bigger than gigantic airports, football fields. Some of them bigger than several football fields put together.
Okay.
And when you realize that, you know, you can't go on nothing nobody else tell you. You have to do your own research. They say, okay, the dinosaurs extinct. But just a few years ago, I was looking at the news, and right here in St. John River, here's an albino dolphin that's supposed to be extinct for over 200 million years ago. But here he is. Well, the reason why he's there is because his ancestors went through a portal in a hole in the earth. But when the plates moved, the hole was covered up. So he locked down there, male and female, producing generations. And then as the earth moves again, that portal opened up, and here go one of the ancestors coming up. And he's looking around and, what's going on here? You see. So what the people did was, they when they seen this, the word already out, you coming in here with the concept about God. We're looking at your flag. We're looking at everything on there. The horror of you and the dread of you has gone all over throughout our kingdom. That you are no good. You are worthless soul.
Right.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to take ourselves and our people, because we live in peace, is inside our DNA. We don't need to kill nobody. We got better sense than that. We better men and women and children than that. We was born that way. Our Creator created us this way. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down in the water, and we're going to go through the holes in the planet.
Okay.
And we're going to remove all evidence of where we went. So when you come to kill somebody and rob and steal from somebody, you will find no one. And so we got whole underground cities, all that down there, and they've even brought planes over certain jungles on the earth and dropped food down, and the natives take the food and eat it, and when they see the natives taking the food to eat, then they come back and they drop poison down, and the people start dying to kill off large numbers so they can come down and land. And then when they come down to land, but this time when they came down to land, the people had gotten aware of what they was doing, and the natives come out of the jungle and surrounded them and took them. They didn't kill them because they better man than that. See, a man don't need a gun. A chunk need one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they take them, they took them in the underground caves and showed them stuff they had never seen, because on top of the planet, they thought they was supposed to have it going on, but they down in these caves down here, and you got caves with lights in them. They can't figure out where the lights come. They're not electrical lights. They're natural lights. And then they showed them crafts and everything else down there, because the technology. See, when the cloning took place, and they were turned loose on Earth, and put in a special place, they were never supposed to be released. As a result of releasing them, we have went backwards in time. Knowledge that we're supposed to be so far advanced that it ain't funny, but it has sent us backwards in time. Hundreds of thousands of years as a result of this experiment.
Okay. I agree. I've heard along the lines. I know about the inner Earth. It's been documented. They keep it secret. But there are beings that come to the surface. Am I right? There are beings that come to the surface at
a particular
time.
They come to the surface all the time. There was one gentleman that reported a story. He got up early in the morning and went out on the beach. And he said a man walked straight up out of the ocean coming up on the land. And the man, he had his eyes was totally opaque, totally white. And he was so shocked, he screamed. And the being heard him and turned around and ran back into the ocean and totally disappeared. So, yes, they are creatures under the earth. There are discoveries that have been made that never make it into the media, because what has happened is, in order to control the brains of the people, we must cut off knowledge. We must keep them from knowing, because every government around the world today running on the same corrupt system of worthlessness has the same type of tactics. Keep the masses dumb. Do not tell the truth, because if you tell the truth, then the masses will know that it's been a lie. We say man's supposed to have been on the earth for 6,000 years. The evidence to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that was a lie. We got to keep investing millions and millions and millions of dollars in covering up the lie. We uncover a man in Portland, Oregon. He's been of African descent, dead 10,000 years. So now we got to take the bones to our colleges and universities, keep them locked away from the public, keep the media out of it, and then we got to bring helicopters in, drop gravel, cover up the whole site so no more evidence could be revealed.
Well, brother,
and
I can say this.
Millions to do this.
I can say this, Mother Brother. I have some information, and I was listening to the brother, Dr. Arlene Bate, talk about where they found a particular type of metal cylinder that they were blasting up in Massachusetts, blasting mountainsides. They found a metal object with hieroglyphic writing that's estimated to be 600 million years old. So,
well, now,
this Earth,
do you know what that means? We can't let that out.
I know, bro. I know.
Well, what about the dinosaur? Okay, they came out with another lie because they're trying to appear to have knowledge. So they came out with this lie that, well, you know, the dinosaur lived 60 million years ago, and the first man wasn't on the earth until many years later. And but then that lie was going on for a long time. And then they found a man's footprint side by side with a dinosaur. Yeah, oh, Mission Control, we got a problem.
We got a problem again.
They say, well, we brought the world into the Iron Age until they got up on Khufu's pyramid and found a wedge of iron wedged between a rock dating back 5,000 years. We got another problem. They said, well, the Wright brothers has invented flight until they went down in the basement of Khufu's and found a glider. Mission Control, we have another problem.
Yeah. Helicopter, airplane, blimp, all of those things are in hieroglyphics. And the technology that we have today can't even fathom or compare to the technology that our ancestors had. You know, it goes back to the story, the Masonic story of somebody being knocked in the head, buried in a shallow grave, and their jewels were stolen. But it takes a real man to raise that consciousness back up, bro. I'm just elated to hear that we should have avenues that we can communicate to the people, because the call is going out all through the world, through melanated people, through the DNA, that it's time to wake up and return to who we truly are and to guide mankind into a better humanity. Bro, I appreciate your work. I'm here listening. You can call on me at any time. I look forward to doing talking to you maybe tomorrow on some other levels. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot. We're going to go into the next segment now and deal with some more stuff. Peace, bro. All right, let's roll, Mose. Let's deal with evil.
There is a force in the universe that is ultra intelligent and seeks to exploit our weaknesses at every turn. This force is most hidden and is ultra powerful. Its desire for power and control is beyond measure. It manipulates even the gods. This force, which is known as evil, was birthed out of the dual nature of creation itself. So great was evil's desire for power and control that it sought to challenge the Creator for supremacy over all creation. But evil could not prevail, for the Creator knew of evil's plan before it was formed. And so the Creator willed evil down into the realm of the gods. With its plan of supreme architect foiled, evil, which had been cast down into the realm of the gods, immediately set to challenge the gods for supremacy in the god realm. Many gods succumbed to evil's will, and great chasms spawned in the collective consciousness of the universe. No longer was the universe whole. Through evil's manipulation of the gods, the universe, which was once a place of balance, had become a place where evil things began to manifest in greater numbers than before. Evil had completed its goal in the god realm. But evil was not satisfied. You see, evil, in manipulating all of the entities that it had thus far, did not have to be ultra-creative. It found that the challenge of manipulating the gods was minor and not worthy of an entity which had vowed to someday take the Creator's place as the supreme being over all creation. And so evil looked into the realm of the human beings and found that there were so many ways to manipulate humanity. And in the choosing of ways, evil found that it could be more creative than it had before. Evil, whose logic was insidious and twisted beyond measure, believed that the manipulation of humanity was the best clandestine way to challenge the Creator itself. Therefore, understand that 1. Evil disrupted the gods without much resistance, and it did so without much creative manipulation. 2. Evil understood that the manipulation of the gods was not a creative challenge. 3. Evil believed that the best way to challenge the Creator would be through the development of its own creative powers. 4. Evil believed that the best way to develop its own creative abilities was through the manipulation of humanity. And so, the manipulation of humanity began.
Now let's take a look at some of the people that might be moving along with this thing.
Chapter 4, Black Clergy for Sale. George Bush was a genius when he came up with the faith-based initiative. Everybody knows that the black church was the bulwark. The black church was once the pride and joy of the black community. Right here in Philadelphia, Richard Island and Absalom Jones broke away from the white church to form their own. Most protests, most independent education, most black circulation journals were born in the black church. But that's not the way it is anymore, because now they can get grants. Now they can become 501c3s. Now they can get handouts from white people. So before, when we had strong black ministers like Richard Allen and Absalom Jones and Denmark Vesey and Gabriel Prosser and Nat Turner, when we had Samuel Cornish and a good Reverend Henry Highland Garnett, we used to have independent black voices. We don't have that anymore. Our black clergy is cowards. The district attorney, Lynn Abraham, has most of them in her back pocket. Anytime it's time for her to run for election, they vote for her. They mostly vote for white representatives and white senators and white council persons. Instead of being the organ of black protests, the black clergy in Philadelphia has largely become nothing but the companion of white supremacy. And then we have this disgusting occurrence of $10 million black churches. We have churches being built from the ground, $20 million in low-income black neighborhoods. Why in the hell would you build a $20 million structure in the lowest and poorest of neighborhoods instead of using that money to generate jobs, instead of using that money to generate independent black schools, instead of using that money to generate black factories, instead of using that money to generate independent black newspapers and black radio stations that have a nationalist flavor, instead of putting black people to work and black people to college, we're building institutions so black people could come and pray. Jesus never asked nobody for a $20 million church. Muhammad never asked nobody for a $20 million church. And although the black Muslim has kept away from building $20 million masjids, the black Muslim is still guilty for Arabizing the interpretation of Islam. So the average black Muslim in the city of Philadelphia is nothing but a Negro who runs around aping Arab culture. We now have something called Muslim food and Muslim dress. There's no such thing as Muslim food and Muslim dress. There's African food and African dress, and there's Arab food and Arab dress. You think you're being a good Muslim, but all you're doing is turning your back on your own culture and imitating the culture of your Arab oppressor. Let's be honest, Muslim brothers and sisters, because I'm a Muslim myself, but I am not an Arab wannabe. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Black churches are silent now. You don't hear them saying anything about the unions controlling jobs. You don't hear them saying anything about the unions keeping trade programs out of the schools. You don't hear them saying anything about community control of the public schools, because now they can get grants from Paul Vallis. Now they can get grants from the School Reform Commission. So instead of standing up to some of our biggest institutional enemies, they now become the vanguard and handmaiden of black oppression. Richard Island is turning over in his grave. Reverend Henry Highland Garnett is turning over in his grave. Samuel Cornish is turning over in his grave. The Right Excellent Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, who was a devout Christian, is turning over in his grave. What does God got to do with it? We have this weak interpretation of our religion. We have an interpretation of our religion that says wait for God to solve your problems. We have an interpretation of our religion that says just pray and things will get better. We have an interpretation of our religion that says work with the white people, because God loves all. Turn the other cheek, love your enemy. But that's not the interpretation that Henry Highland Garnett had. That's not the interpretation that Denmark Vesey had. That's not the interpretation that Nat Turner had. That's not the interpretation that Alexander Crummell had. That's not the interpretation that Edward Wilmot Blyden had. Stop blaming the religion, black nationalists. Too many of us black nationalists and black activists are blaming Christianity. We're blaming Islam. Islam and Christianity are not our enemies. As pan-African nationalists and scholar warrior John Henry Clark said, they can be used for our liberation if we change our interpretation. It's not the religion, it's the interpretation. Religion has always been a beacon of hope in the black community. It's only been in the last 100 years, but it has been nothing but the handmaiden of white supremacy. Don't attack the religion. Attack the interpretation of the religion. Marcus Garvey was a religious man, but he used his interpretation to ignite black people to do their work. He used his interpretation to ignite the fervor of pan-African self-reliance. Stop.
Comparing this Y chromosome to thousands of men from all over the world reveals a critical discovery. These mutations, originating in Africa, appear on every Y chromosome in every man in the world today. These are the universal mutations we've been looking for. We followed the DNA trail all the way to the bottom of the tree. Every branch leads to one man, one Y chromosome. There must have been one man who gave rise to all men alive today. He is the ultimate super ancestor. He is scientific Adam. One of his descendants was M168. The third president, Thomas Jefferson. Research on Jefferson's Y has already given us one huge surprise. It had long been suspected that Jefferson fathered children by his slave, Sally Hemings. A 1998 study used the Y chromosome to prove that it was almost certainly true. It showed that this white man apparently had black descendants. Now, Wells believes he's discovered something about Jefferson that no one suspected. A discovery not about his descendants, but about his ancestors. An and it could take us a big step toward Adam. Wells noticed that Jefferson's Y chromosome mutations don't look European. So where did Jefferson's ancestors come from? Everything about Jefferson points to him being European. Genealogists have traced his ancestry back to medieval France and Britain. But the test reveals something you might never have imagined. Jefferson's Y chromosome links him not to Europe, but to the Middle East, what is now Lebanon and Syria. This is the best guess. A direct ancestor who lived in a land that no longer exists, called Phoenicia. The Bible calls it Canaan. Jefferson may look European, but his Y chromosome tells a different story. There must have been one man who gave rise to all men alive today. He is the ultimate super ancestor. He is Scientific Adam. One of his descendants was M168. He was the forefather of the ancient Middle Eastern ancestor of Thomas Jefferson. He gave rise to Genghis Khan's Y chromosome. In fact, all the Y chromosomes in the world trace back to this one African man. He is Scientific Adam. Wells believes the pattern of African Y chromosomes puts his birthplace somewhere in the Great Rift Valley region of East Africa, perhaps Tanzania or Ethiopia. He thinks this is Scientific Adam's homeland, his Garden of Eden. Wells believes he was born around 60,000 years ago. It sounds ancient, but it means our search for a common ancestor has not led us all the way back to a time of ape men, or even to primitive beings like Homo erectus. Compared to the billions of years of human evolution, we've found Adam in the recent past. But who was he? What made him the super ancestor of all men today? And what did he look like? The Adam that's emerging is not who we might have thought. Michelangelo's famous painting shows God giving life to a European. The critical discoveries of where and when Adam lived prove he could not have looked like this. In East Africa is a little known tribe called the Hadzabe.
Spencer, Stefano.
Their DNA links them almost straight back to Adam. They give us a glimpse into his world. And they point to what Adam could have looked like. Scientific Adam should be a midpoint between the ancient Kapsa face and one of these faces. Finally, Wells comes face to face with the man he's been searching for. A new portrait of the common ancestor of every man today. Adam. Without a skull, we can't know for sure what Adam looked like. But a combination of genetic evidence, Bender's forensic skills, and cutting-edge computer software suggests he looks something like this. Thousands of years after the Bible, and hundreds of years after Michelangelo, we have a whole new face for Adam.
I like the expression. He's got a very forceful look.
He's intent on something, maybe taking over the world. You begin to get perhaps an insight into why these guys
taking over the world. First of all, if he if we don't have the, I cannot show you exactly what it was here, but it was an African, and he is only person that could possibly have been. Period. It could have been nothing else. No other. So we're trying to gradually tell the truth a little bit at a time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of this broadcast, and I certainly appreciate you all for being on here. And we're going to be coming back later on and deal with some more stuff of this nature. And but Wednesday night, you all make sure to tune in to the national conference call held by the Moorish American government. And I'll be there, and we'll be dealing with law and about contracts and stuff. So it behooves you all to be there to catch this information, okay? I have been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and you all have a good evening, okay? Good night.